listeners, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you with unfailing love. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 158, called Jesus, Women, and Money, we're going to be discussing the women that supported Jesus in his ministry. Sharon, tell us about this and where we can find their encounter with Jesus.
This is so much fun when you think about it. Women supported Jesus and helped provide the food that he ate and the stuff he needed. What is that? There's so much to say about that, especially in light of first century women really being considered less than. So, all right. Well, we're going to start with Luke 8, 1 through 3, where it tells that part of the story. But these women show up again, and you'll be reading about that part in a little bit. Yes. So let me read Luke 8, 1 through 3. Soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples.
That's pretty cool.
It really is.
It's quite a list of women.
It's kind of wild. Yes. But then they show up again. And
yeah. So in Luke 24, 1 through 10, but very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, 2 men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day?" Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who had told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. This is so crazy. So I love how Jesus showed up to them first and let these women share this incredible news.
Yes.
That's so sweet. You know, it's because they had gone to prepare his body and honor him in that way and kind of just do what they always did and take care of business. And I think that's really sweet. And I also think it lends a lot of credibility to the women and also to the story, because women were not regarded as credible sources of information back then. I don't think they could even bear witness in court.
I've read that too.
Yeah. So they just, well, okay, well, whatever you saw, you probably were tired and hysterical or whatever. So this was super cool because it even further proves that the gospel is in fact truth. Because if Luke were writing a story and making it up, he would have used men as witnesses.
He sure would have.
Yeah. Yes. They were considered a more reliable source of information. So I think this is so cool on so many levels.
It is. It is so fascinating to see how much Jesus not only cared about women, but ask them to share in his work.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? It's being really a woman, cool. That makes me quite happy.
It does, yes.
I love it. I thought it was fascinating that in the first passage, Jesus had healed these women of something. They either had demons like Mary Magdalene, and 7 is a lot of them.
That feels like
you
a
know,
lot.
And then the others that had diseases of some sorts, and yet their response to being healed was wanting to follow, and he let them.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? And he didn't say, you allowed 7 demons to get inside you. Maybe you need to go home and read the Torah, you know,
right?
And the fact that they also, out of their own purses, supported these men, it gives them some clout that is so unusual.
Yeah.
It's not what you would expect at all.
It is surprising. I would love to research that more because I'm not sure what they were allowed to own. So the fact that some of them had their own money to give seems remarkable to me.
Yeah, I looked that up.
Oh, good.
Because I was like, obviously
they do that?
They did do it, but right. I'd love to understand it better. They were obviously wealthy. Okay. That was part of what even Mary Magdalene, they presume, had wealth.
Wow.
And widows in that day could do a lot with their money, including own property.
Okay.
And under Roman rule, this was more the Roman influence than it would have been the Jewish.
Right.
But they could also be something called a patron, where if you had a favorite cause as a wealthy woman, you could, help your hero.
Right? Okay.
So Jesus was their hero, right? And they were patrons of Jesus. So I'm like, okay, so it wasn't quite as unusual as I thought. Still not common because most women weren't wealthy.
Right.
And they also had to either be widowed or have husbands that did not care that they're walking around the countryside with Jesus and a bunch of men giving the money.
Right.
I mean,
can you imagine?
I mean, even today, that sounds strange.
Right. Hey, honey, I'm going to go for a couple months on the road with this guy, a bunch of guys. It's fine. I'm going to pay for it too. Like, wait, what?
Yes. So it's so out of the box.
Yeah.
The stories of Jesus, if you really look at them, Nicole, there's nothing common about them at all. Jesus did not do normal things.
No.
Including what you said. At the tomb, they had the honor of being first.
Yeah.
And being able to tell that news. And that is just the coolest thing.
It really is.
Yeah. And who are the ones that are possessed with the sense to realize that Jesus' body needed to be wrapped in all the spices?
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just being women.
Yep.
Women are like, let's take care of business here.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. The world may be falling apart, but we got to do what we need to do.
That's right. So we'll just do it. So
absolutely
delightful. So I would love to get to know them in heaven.
I know, and what their thoughts were. Because to go from doing the dreary, I can't imagine that preparing a body is particularly enjoyable.
No.
Especially when it's someone that you loved or someone that they had put their whole stock and hope and life into.
Yes.
This man.
Yes.
They thought he was going to change the world and save them. And they didn't understand that it was through his death and resurrection, not
right.
that he was freeing them from the Romans and setting up the kingdom here on earth
uh-huh.
that moment.
Uh-huh.
So I just love that he found them in that.
I do too.
In the dreary daily work.
Yeah. And there's no better way to know he's dead than to be sticking perfume all over his body and lifting dead limbs.
Right.
They knew he was dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. In a very visceral
right.
close up and personal way. Fascinating.
It
and
is.
Yet they are the ones that handled the body and they're the ones that were told he's risen.
Oh,
so,
that's so neat.
There's just such an honoring in that. And so I love that.
I love
that. So that's kind of the women's story. But what do we learn about Jesus from this story and the way he treated the women? What did you discover in that?
I think I put he's alive because that was pretty cool.
He's
alive in this. We should just mention his resurrection, which is pretty amazing. But I love that he sees us in the daily dreary things. I was just again thinking that this was a common practice and probably not anyone's favorite job to go anoint the bodies, but they were there faithfully doing what they needed to do. And he saw those tired, grief-stricken women and he honored their faithfulness and just doing the work and getting the things done. And he gave them more joy in that moment than they could have imagined, being faithful to what he had called them to
yes.
do each day.
Yes.
So I just think about if I get in a rut with my daily things that need to get done, despite things being chaotic around me, he always meets me where I am, where I'm at in the daily dreary.
He
and
does.
And he finds us and he sees us. Sometimes you feel like it's the unseen work,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing the laundry and the dishes and anointing dead bodies, it's not the glamorous scene work, but God sees that. And there's such an honor and there's such a faithfulness in faithfully doing our work.
Isn't it? There really
it's
is.
It's worth doing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was thinking of how there was so not pride in Jesus. You know, how he humbled himself and took on the form of a man and
yeah.
all that in Philippians 2. He didn't say, oh, good heavens, do not give me money. you know, you're women. Why are you supporting me at all?
Oh, yeah.
There was no comment that what they did was wrong or inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
He received it.
That's
and
true.
I don't know about you, but I have an easier time giving and being the cool kid that gives than I am being the one that receives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where my pride can get in the way. In mm-hmm. fact, this last snowstorm.
Yeah.
We're taping this right after a snowstorm. I don't know when it shows. Probably when there's flowers blooming. But anyways, there was a snowstorm. And our snowblower was broken.
Oh.
And there was a wall. Like, I mean, a wall at the end. And we're 67 and 68. And our neighbors evidently think we're, you know, a little past our prime there, because we're out shoveling, and our friend Heath was going to come over and do the end for us with
yeah.
his new toy. He had a plow on his truck, and he's like,
fine.
Oh, I'll do it.
Right.
So, but the neighbors didn't know that. So we're out shoveling, and all of a sudden, an older neighbor than us, but who has a snowblower, is making her way across the street
Aww.
To take care of us. And then rushing from the house next door was our man neighbor and his 16-year-old German exchange student with shovels,
oh my goodness.
Telling the neighbor with the snowblower, no, we want to do it.
Oh, Sharon.
What is that? So we were definitely on the giving end.
Yeah.
And it is humbling to be on the giving end, because we should not have let our snowblower be broken.
I know.
Right?
Yes.
It was kind of our fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was. So here we had all this help, you know, and we had to be humble and say thank you. Although we did tell them that if Heath came all the way over with his new cool plow and they'd already done the work, he'd be
depressed.
There's
nothing left. Right. Leave him a little pile to push around.
So, anyways, all that just to say, it is sometimes easier to give than receive. Jesus received well.
He did. There is something, the receiving part, that's interesting. Like you said, we beat ourselves up like, well, if I had been better and furnished my snowblower before, I wouldn't be in this predicament. It's my fault. I was like, I made my bed, I can lie in it. Like,
yeah.
Don't help me. I don't really deserve it. That is funny. It does show our hearts, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And yet he not only humbled himself and received aid from the lesser class, the women.
Right.
He invited them to join him. They're on this journey with him. They're walking around with the disciples. I keep forgetting that part, Nicole. I keep thinking it's Jesus and 12 men.
Right.
But the Bible says they also followed him around. Now, maybe not to the same degree. I don't know, but they were there a lot.
Right. They didn't just send him off and say, see you later.
They
stayed at different parts and popped in and out. We don't really know.
Yeah.
But
they were part of the gang.
Wow.
They were part of the gang.
That's so neat.
Isn't that fun?
I love
and
that.
And it's very humbling and sweet for a woman to know, I can be part of the gang.
It's true.
Right? So anyways, I thought that was really, really cool. I love Jesus's honoring of them so, so much. I wanted to read Acts chapter 2. I just remembered that. So I'm going to flip to it. Because Peter talks about the role of women in the early church too, in his first sermon. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. This is when the men and women are in the upper room and the Holy Spirit comes, and all of a sudden they're talking in unknown languages, and there's fire and wind, and it is wild.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're just sitting there for Jesus had to sit and wait. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what was going to happen, and then big things happen.
It happened.
So Jesus is now preaching to this crowd because everybody's like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
I guess when there's fire and wind, it does attract a crowd.
Attracts a crowd.
Right?
I would imagine.
Amazing. So, and also, this is after they're talking to people in their own languages.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So the people have all come from all over, everywhere, and they're like, how do they know Italian?
Right. How do I hear my language?
How do they know perthurying?
Right.
I just made that word up. You know, whatever. So, okay. So then Peter stands up to talk, and this is what he says. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. I'm thinking he shouted because it was noisy.
Yeah.
And he had to kind of get their attention.
Sure.
That's my thought.
All the different languages going.
He says, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that.
I love that part.
That was so cute. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Mm. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy.
Oh, wow.
So we've got some declarations here that tell me as a woman, I get your Holy Spirit too, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I guess I still kind of have this little inferiority thing, which I do not need to have because God loves us just as much as men.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's just so beautiful that that prophecy from Joel, mm-hmm. which must have sounded strange in Old Testament times, men and women.
Yeah.
Right? Right. And then here we are. It's happening. And men and women are testifying to the gospel. Men and women were praying mm-hmm. together. Men and women had the Holy Spirit filled them. There's just such a fun beauty to that. And it's just another underline. I absolutely believe there are different roles for men and women. I'm mm-hmm. pretty traditional in that. But it doesn't make us less than. Mm-hmm. We're different.
Right.
And all of us get the Holy Spirit. All of us get to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. All of us are welcomed.
That is so beautiful.
And I just have to say yay.
Yay. It does kind of take some of the fight out of my heart to hear that, to hear Jesus seeing us and saying, yes, I have anointed you as well. Because with anything, there's a pendulum shift and going from women had no rights to women should have all these rights. And there's just a lot of anger in that, in our culture about this, back and forth.
So much back and
forth. And we go too far the other way and too far this way. We never kind of sit in the happy middle, do we?
No, we don't. And we can get very angry with each other.
Yes.
And forget that the main thing is Jesus died for our sins and we need to tell people.
Exactly.
Right?
Hard
so,
stop there.
Anyways.
Nope, that's good. So I just love that Jesus, him coming in gently, and just telling us, I see you. I've anointed you for this. And just worry about you. Go out and tell the people I have put in front of you today that I am love and I offer life. Okay, I can do that.
I can do that. Exactly so. Exactly so. Well, I've got some stories about times when God just showed up for me in special ways. And I think one of my favorites was when I was baptized. Mm. And for whatever reason, I didn't do it with a group of people. I'm just odd like that, I guess. But I had really been growing closer and closer to the Lord. I was about 12 years old, just me and him.
Yeah.
I can remember sitting, looking out my bedroom window at a pear tree in full bloom and just crying with the joy of God and the beauty that, you know, how can people not believe in you? Mm-hmm. Look at that moon over that pear tree. You
know? Right.
So anyways, I just was determined I needed to be baptized now kind of thing. I'm also, I guess, bossy because that's
assertive.
What I wanted.
You're assertive. No.
Assertive, yes. So we went to a small church without a baptismal even.
Oh, wow.
Ed Anderson's the name of the pastor that baptized me. And I went up to him after church on Sunday, little 12-year-old Sharon, and said, you know, I've just had a really special encounter with God, and I really, really, really want to be baptized now.
Oh.
So, and my parents were for it, which is good. So we went to another church where there was a baptismal for a special evening service.
Wow, Sharon.
I know.
Wow.
Kind of embarrassing. So, and it must have been summery because it was still light out. So maybe 5 or 6 at night. I don't remember. Yeah. I truly don't remember. But I remember this part because it's wicked cool. It was a really rainy day, you know, so kind of gloomy. And truth. He puts me under the water. I come up and sun rays come through the window.
Oh my goodness.
I will never forget it.
That's so beautiful.
It was so, I didn't deserve it. What an incredible, beautiful kiss from God himself.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Yeah. And later on, Ed Anderson wrote a book and I'm in it because he remembers that baptism.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit was just there in a very, very, very special way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because this little girl who was faithful to listening to her
father. After that, I wasn't as good for a while. I met Ray Gamble. I was way more enthralled with him than... So it's not like I just waltzed from...
With the glow of the... of the heavens upon you.
Let's be real here.
Right?
There were many moments I'm not proud of after that. But that one was an anointing and just such a beautiful, beautiful time for me. So that's my story.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a similar encounter when I was 15. I think it's that moment where the stories and you know God exists and you know he loves you, but it all kind of comes together and becomes real. Uh-huh. I had that moment. We were in Mexico on a missions trip and I was outside. Again, nature. Nature just, there's something about nature that takes everything else away so I can just focus on God.
Yes.
There's such a beauty in it that you could only glorify God for. It's like, oh, that's a great tree. I wonder who made that. You know, it just, it's God. You're sitting in God's playroom, you know,
right.
It's creation.
Yeah.
And just looking up at the stars and being like, God, this is real, isn't it? All of this is real. Like, you're for real. Like, okay, I think I'm ready to dive in, like for real.
Yes.
I remember just being outside and just crying. And I went in to tell my friends that I just like had this beautiful moment with God and felt like he saw me and he just like, it hugged me out underneath the stars. And they were so excited and they cried with me. But again, I had some horrible years after that. But that moment has stayed with me throughout the hard times.
Yes.
And there's been other moments where God has been so big and so present in my life. And it's just amazing that he does take the time to come to us and show us his love and just make himself real.
Yes.
And it's not daily. We're not going to have these beautiful sunlight through the clouds moments, tears underneath a beautiful open Mexican sky every day. We're not.
No.
We're not. Some days we don't feel like we hear him. We feel far away. Mm-hmm. But to cling to those beautiful encounters with him,
it's pretty special.
Yeah.
It really, really is. Yes. It's so special. And he does. He speaks. He cries out. Mm. I'm real through creation. And you know what you're making me think? I have 8 grandchildren and I pray for them, of course. And I pray that they'll come to know Jesus at an early age, which 7 out of 8 have. And seeing Felicity is not yet 2.
There's hope for her.
There's hope for her yet. Yes. But you and I grew up in a Christian home. We received Jesus as our Lord and Savior early-ish, too. But we each had an encounter with him. Mm-hmm. We just have shared them, where it's really real happened. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of more from an adult perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not that 12 is all that adult, but you know what I mean.
The logic's kicking in a little bit more than it sticks, where it's just, you just love him and you love that he loves you.
Yeah.
And it's
great. Yeah. Yeah. That's my next prayer for them, is that God will give them that you're really real moment.
Yes.
Because without that, going to college, especially if they go to a secular college, can destroy a faith that's only built on my parents believe.
Oh, sure.
Even if you think you believe it.
Right.
There has to be a God, you're really real moment, you know? And for Ray, it doesn't always have to be emotional. You and I are emotional.
Yeah, we have big feelings.
And nature is what, you know, does it for us.
Yep.
Not Ray. Ray came to know the Lord through history, which I've shared before.
So beautiful,
though. You know, and logic, you know, so Ray didn't weep and feel all tingly. He just went, logically, why would these guys that would know if they were making it up that he was dead and rose again, and that he actually was still dead, why would they all decide to die deaths being burned alive? That's really painful. You'd have to actually really believe you saw him again. And they walked with him for 3 years, so they would know.
Right.
And maybe there would be one loopy one in there, but there wouldn't be that many.
Right.
And, you know, then you read about the other Christian martyrs, so many that had, you know, done it. And so logic, because that's the way God reached Ray.
And that's why he made him.
Yes, and I'm saying that because I have friends who never feel the loosey-goosey that you and I feel.
Right, the bubbles.
Right? I mean, we're just passionate by nature, and that can be really bad sometimes, too.
Yeah.
But it also has its happy moments when we get like, wow, God, yay. So he reaches us in our own special way, I think, don't you?
I was just going to say, I love that he knows, because he created each one of us, and we're not all like you and I, who have big happy feelings and big sad feelings and all the things in between. He created Ray the way he created Ray, and you the way he created you, and my daughter the way my daughter, and each one of us encounters God in different ways.
He That we absolutely do.
And they're not better or less than or nope. Like, oh, well, I didn't have an experience like you. I never had a deep logical moment where I knew that God was proven without a doubt with facts. Like that didn't reach me and it doesn't.
No.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But for me, I see him, I feel him in a way that is amazing. So he's so cool that he's not like, well, you're not getting me this way. So I guess, you know, you really don't know I'm here. But he makes sure that each one of us has an opportunity to know him.
He does. There's a verse in 2 Peter. God is not slow, as some people think he is, in keeping his promise, basically, to come back.
Right.
But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
And that means even the Ray Gambles who don't have a whole lot of emotion. I used to like, are you mad at me? Because his resting face looks really grumpy. And he would not be mad at all. He'd be thinking great, amazing thoughts about theology or culture, you know.
Quite enjoying the conversation in his head, and you're interrupting him.
He's so different. He's fascinating.
Yes, isn't it? Though? I love deeply logical people. They thrill me.
Oh my goodness! I don't know if I ever told you this, and then I guess we should probably wrap it up. But this is just funny too to me. When he was teaching at West Point, we lived in a little hamlet, a mountain away from West Point. They had to drive over a mountain, basically, to get to West Point campus, Storm King Mountain. And so he carpooled with other professors that were teaching at West Point, you know, because it was a half-hour drive.
Yeah.
So they would carpool together. They'd carpooled together, Nicole, for a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
All right?
Yeah.
And so I said one day, so does Dave have a wife and kids? And Ray said, well, I don't know. I could not believe he did not know.
After a year and a half? I would know all their secrets by then.
I said, do you know if any of them have children? No. I said, well, darling, what on earth do you talk about?
Right.
You know, because to me, that is basic information, right?
Right.
He said, we talk about world events. And I'm like, oh, that is so hysterical. I have never sat down with a friend and said, let's talk world events.
Right. Never.
No.
Never. It's like, how the kids, how the wife.
Right.
My husband's the same way. I was talking to one of his friend's wives, and she's like, oh, did Josh tell you? My husband told him. I'm like, no. Oh, did Josh must have told you? I'm like, no. Josh didn't tell me. I promise we talk. We sound like we have a terrible marriage and we never communicate. We do talk. He just doesn't think to like pass on, like, oh, hey, me and so-and-so are talking, and he told me his wife said this. Like, he just doesn't.
He wouldn't think about it. No.
He's like, oh, I didn't really think you'd want to know. I'm like, yes, I want to know. I want to know all the details.
Yes. You do not know me about that.
No.
I know. It's just so funny. It really
is.
Fun. So that's why, you know, in spite of the fact that we're equal before the Lord, you know, as men and women, and I truly believe that, and he's made it clear in this particular episode, we're also different.
Yes.
And different is good.
It's so good. We would drive each other crazy if we were all the same, and nothing would get done.
Exactly. Exactly. So, viva la différence.
Yes.
Well, let me pray for us. Oh, Father God, how it warms my heart that you love women, that you honored them with so many special things like being first at the tomb and being able to support a ministry, pouring out your spirit on men and women alike. Thank you for over and over again saying, I matter. Women are valuable to you. We're all made in your image and all of us have purpose. So thank you, Lord. Bless us as we read the word, as we seek you on how to serve you. Help each of us to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's episode about how much Jesus loves and values women. If this podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you shared it or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. Please email us with any prayer requests you may have or to join our podcast partner newsletter. Email us at nicole@sweetstela.org. And please join us next time for episode 159, When There's Too Much to Do. Have a great day. Oh, love, be the ransom.